Turn with me to the 17th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I want to read verses 1 through 8. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we're looking at some of the different faces of Jesus in the Scripture. 2 weeks ago on the first Sunday in Lent, we looked at the stern face of our Lord and saw that it's an unvarying testimony of Scripture that the Lord, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Last Sunday, we looked at the steadfast face of our Lord and saw His commitment, His courage, His calmness as He went to Jerusalem and Calvary. And there we also examined our own commitment in the light of His. Tonight we come to look at the shining face of our Lord. A person's face is often a mirror of what's going on within the person, of what has gone on within them in days past. Often as you look closely at someone's face, you can see joy or sorrow, concern, worry, love, hate, fear, surprise, anger, courage. Just looking at somebody's face, you see these different things working within their lives. Or you look at another and see the effects of a life lived long without discipline or faith in God. And another shows a serenity that comes only from a deep commitment to God of long standing. In some faces you see life. In some faces you see death. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples saw the face of our Lord, and it did shine as the sun. It was an hour when all the inner glory of God's presence that was in Christ flamed out. Consider, if you would, the background of this experience. First, there was a growing awareness of danger in Jesus' life. From Herod's effort to destroy Jesus when he was an infant, the danger upon his life had ever been increasing. Now in the last days of his public ministry, the opposition of religious leaders in Jerusalem is about to come to a head. There's but one road for him to travel now, the road to Calvary. And still, he presses on and has told his disciples, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the 3rd day. He knew what lay ahead, but only a week after he had spoken these words of deep awareness of the danger to his life, we find him with the glory of God shining upon his face. When the world was at its worst, Jesus was at his best with the splendor of heaven shining brightly upon his face. But note that not only was there danger in the background of this shining face, there was also prayer. Luke tells us that as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered there on the mount. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Jesus was ever a man of prayer. He apparently never did anything without first seeking in prayer to be sure that this was the will of God for his life. At 12, as he was in the temple, the house of prayer, as a man, as his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day to worship and to pray. We read that every man went into his own house, but Jesus went out into the wilderness to pray. Again we read, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out into the solitary place and there prayed. References like these could be multiplied from the Scriptures, but let these be sufficient. Exhausted, weary, troubled, beginning a new day, whatever the need of his life, Jesus went to the Father in prayer. Now facing death in Jerusalem, he goes once more to prayer. He wants to be absolutely sure that this is God's will for his life. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Because of his oneness with the Father, found and strengthened in prayer, all of the glory of God shines in his face. Thus we see the background of this experience made up of danger and of prayer. What significance does it have for us? Well, I want to look at that in a moment, but first, notice how close the disciples came to missing it all. In Luke's Gospel, in the 9th chapter, in the 32nd verse, Luke says, when they were awake, they saw his glory. Peter and James and John had gone to sleep there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they almost missed this splendid vision. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus prayed, Peter and James and John went to sleep. As he poured out his soul in agony to God, they were asleep. How much did they miss in those years with Jesus because of a lack of discipline that would keep them awake while he prayed? How much do you and I miss by being so wrapped up in our own selves that we fail to meet God in the hour of prayer and fail to see his miracles in the world around us? May God give us eyes to see and spirits that are sensitive and help us to discipline our lives that we may walk in Christ's own footsteps, lest we miss the glorious visions that he has for us to behold. But let's look again at the shining face of our Lord. As he faced his blackest hour, Jesus faced it with the radiance of God upon his face. Now you and I face dark hours in our individual lives and in our world. Sooner or later, all of us will face what is for us a personal tragedy. It may be many different things, but it's a part of being human. It may be loss of a loved one. It may be a sickness of a loved one or of yourself. It may be many other tragedies, war, earthquake, whatever. When these things happen, we need to look again at the shining face of our Lord and see a message that says, don't give up. Don't give up. As he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, as we saw last Sunday, we steadfastly set our face to follow him, regardless of the circumstance. He that is faithful to the end, Jesus is saying, will receive a crown of righteousness. Press on. Don't give up. And in the world around us, we encounter vast human frustrations and suffering and wars. I mentioned, what shall the Christian do? Do you ever feel helpless? Well, take another look at the face of Jesus. There's a light in his face. It's a light softened by pain, but nonetheless radiant. Fight on, he says. The kingdom of darkness are strong, but the kingdom of light and life is more powerful, and ultimately God will triumph. When the world tumbles in upon you, be it to your personal lives or in the world itself, in Jesus we find the only flame of hope. In Him, the flame of hope overcomes the inky darkness. He is our only hope as individuals. He is our only hope for this troubled world. One caution here. Jesus always waited in prayer to be certain that He was in the Father's will before He acted. Let us ever be careful that we are working with God and not against Him. Let us wait before Him in prayer and in the study of His Word and examine our planned courses of action in His holy light. Does our plan, course of action, seek to lead people to a knowledge of God as He's revealed in Jesus Christ? Does it bring dignity to others? Does it help all concerned? Is this what Jesus would have me to do in this situation? Now, I read the book when I was a teenager, What Would Jesus Do? And in the last few years, it's become a popular slogan. People wearing bracelets and everything else on them with the initials, What Would Jesus Do? I never have thought that was quite right. I can't do what Jesus would do. I think we need to ask the question, not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus have me to do in this circumstance? In this situation, too often it seems to me that we're too concerned with the effect our action will have on me, on what others will think about me, or on what this will do to me financially. Will it exalt me in the eyes of others, or make things easier, or whatever? That's not our real concern. Jesus said if you would save your life, if your primary concern is with yourself and your own well-being, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll save it. We need to be extra careful lest we, even in the name of the church, even in the name of Christ, do those things which are not Christian. This is again why a deep knowledge of God's Word and a deep life of prayer are essential if we are to follow the Lord of the shining face. Finally, if we wait before Him in prayer and study for His guidance, we too will begin to reflect His light to the world. He said, I am the light of the world. But then He said, You are the light of the world. If we wait before Him, if we spend time with Him, we begin to be reflectors of His light to the world. Henry Martin was a great missionary of days past, went to India as a missionary, translated the New Testament in about 3 different languages. The natives said of him, God is shining in that man's face. God is shining in that man's face. Hugh Price Hughes was a man of prayer and a mighty preacher. And one day as he walked down a street in London, a beggar cried out, O man, with the light of God shining in your face, can't you do something for the likes of me? Man of God with the light of God shining in your face. The light of God shining in your face. You read in the book of Exodus where Moses came down from Mount Sinai after receiving the 10 Commandments. He didn't know that his face shone. And when the people saw him, they were afraid. And he had to put a veil over his face on occasion when he spoke to the people. When Stephen was being tried before his accusers, they that sat in the council saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. The list could be increased, but let me say simply, How many Christians do you know that have a spiritual glow on their faces? Do you have such a glow on your face? I, for one, feel rebuked. You see, the spiritual glow of the shining face is not a cosmetic that one puts on. It's the luster of the lovely, the spiritual, the eternal, the Christ-like that beams from the features of one who keeps close company with Jesus. Only as we wait with Him can we be receivers and bearers of this light. You see, it is the effect of long communion with Jesus until His serenity and His beauty shine from the inside. The disciples saw the face of our Lord as it did shine as the sun is the light of God shining on your face tonight. And more importantly, as you go out into the world tomorrow. Lord Jesus, may Your light so fill us and Your Spirit so indwell us that we would be bearers of Your light to others, that we would truly be people that have a radiance shone forth because of our being with You. Hear our prayer. We pray in Your name. Amen.